I just moved in from St. Paul, so. Richard was ready. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from our last meeting, and is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Public comment? Hi, Shelby. How are you? Good. Okay. I would like to introduce Sarah Swedberg. She's a city planner, and she and I have been attending the GARE workshops all year, and we've had other people. Sean has been involved. Sean was actually involved in the start of this project. But Sarah kind of led the charge with the GARE toolkit to look at one of the policies that the city has, and we kind of, our subcommittee made some recommendations for changes, and Sarah's kind of going to walk us through that, why the policy that was chosen, and then what the recommendation is for the policy change. So if you want to go ahead and start that.
Sure thing. I'll pass this around first. So what we're passing around is a copy of our carbon copy of our community enhancement plan. So very common with the city. We have living in the city, there are understandings, there are rules that we set for the betterment of our community as a whole. And so we look at things like exterior storage, so garbage. We look at junk vehicles, construction materials, furniture, off-street parking, all sorts of different things that we have said we want this or we don't want this on any given property within town. This particular program covers residential, though we have very, very similar rules for commercial and industrial properties. Basically, the difference is that, you know, we understand that there's going to be some more exterior storage depending on what's related to a commercial business or something like that, but we still don't want to see garbage everywhere. We still want to make sure that vehicles on the properties are licensed, all of that kind of stuff. So it's very similar for all properties throughout town. When we were going through some of the GARE training, one of our tasks is to use this racial equity toolkit that they have provided to think through our policies and procedures as a city. And the first thing that popped in my mind was this particular program, largely because it's a reactive program. So it requires or it relies on people submitting complaints to the city. While that's not the only properties that we address, largely that initiates it because of the structure that we have at the city, the staff power that we have behind it, the fact that we don't have any sort of, you know, we're going to drive through these streets once a week and these streets this other day of the week, or however that breaks down. The best example that they gave, they talked about a neighborhood in Seattle, I think it was, or something like that, where they were having issues with crime, and on all of the light poles, they had a little plaque that said, call this number when this light goes out. But what they realized was that there were certain areas that neighbors automatically or community members knew to call that number, whereas other areas that might have been lower poverty or more immigrant populations living in that area, they weren't calling. And so you had less light fixture replacement, you had higher crime rates, that kind of thing. And so what Public Works did for them was they said, we're not going to rely on the complaints, we're just going to say each light bulb has a lifespan of 10 years, and when that 10-year time frame ends, we replace the light whether it's running or not. And so the idea would be to create a program, create some education, create a structure that allows us to be ahead of the game instead of relying on the complaint-based, because we know that the complaint-based tends to be biased because we are human beings. And so what I have done is just brought you where we're at right now. It's still certainly a work in progress. One interesting thing, this sheet doesn't address snow removal or lawn mowing. That's taken care of by a different department. Though, you know, arguably if you've got one staff member driving around town, they should be addressing all of those sort of property kind of community enhancement components. So one of our thoughts, one of our goals would be to get it all together. It might not necessarily be all in the same location in code, depending on what fits and drives in what ordinances and different things. But for there to be kind of that combined effort to look at everything when one staff person is going out for efficiency purposes, so that we can hit the whole area of town. What else to talk about? One thing we have to consider when we're doing some of this stuff is the garbage service that we have in town and their schedules. And so I have one map that I had, and I still need to get Miller Sanitation, get their route. But oh, come on. West Central Sanitation sent me, it's not a very big map or a very good map, but sent me their route. Right? And that's an important component to think about. What neighborhoods are going to have their garbage cans out? Sometimes there's a car parked in front of your garbage can and doesn't get picked up on the first go-around. There's no reason for us to be writing that up if, you know, 3 hours later it's going to be picked up. So keeping those kind of things coordinating. But, you know, also for sake of the garbage service, sweeps all of town in 4 days. Now, you know, that's their whole job. But that tells me that I think, and they're, you know, generally they're stopping at a significant number of houses along the way. Whereas with a program like this, you don't have to stop at every house if there isn't an issue. So that tells me that this is a very manageable thing for us to get into that sort of routine, where we set aside, you know, 2 hours or whatever it might be for somebody to be ensuring that we're consistently and equitably driving and going throughout the city on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. We do tend to see more complaints in higher rental density neighborhoods, which is always kind of an interesting thing to wrestle with. Getting to the actual process of what happens right now, when we receive a complaint, we go out into the community, we drive to that location, and we review it ourselves to make sure that what's being complained about is something that we can enforce. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. You never know. And while we're doing that, we generally scan the neighborhood, so we're not just looking at one particular property. Because of the frequency that our building inspector and building official are out reviewing construction projects and houses and all sorts of different things going on, they will also stop and address issues that they see as they're driving around as well. But when we arrive to a property and then there is an issue, we have this handy-dandy carbon copy that we manually check what is going on or what violations are occurring, write down some notes as to where on the property that might be occurring, making sure that it's clearly spelled out what needs to change. We rip apart the yellow piece on the property, and then we go back to the office, put it all in the computer, and then print additional copies that then get sent to the property owner that's on file with the tax data that we have through the county. And that way, because of that system of leaving one on the property and mailing one to the property owner, that kind of addresses rental situations, right? So you might have a person living on the home or living at the house that might not own the house. Therefore, both parties are notified. Ultimately, as a property owner, it's your responsibility to ensure that your properties are up to our standards, which we do get some kickback about. But as property owner, that's your responsibility. So, but hoping that the renter and the person that's actually living on that property is aware of what their responsibilities are as a dweller in the community as well. Other than this handout, we don't really have a whole lot of education. I think one piece as we're going through some of these changes that I would love to see is some sort of kind of more friendly approach to some of it. You know, maybe some pictures, maybe something that just says, hey, maybe you're new to the area and you're not aware of these things. Here's our goal. And we want you to, you know, contribute to that goal as somebody living in the community. Another piece that we're working on, we actually have a training on Friday in the Twin Cities. We have finally purchased a tablet, nice. Which means that hopefully when we actually arrive on those properties, it can be much faster because handwriting all of this and then going back to the office, putting it all in the print or in the computer, printing it all again, sending out in the mail is just a long, cumbersome process. And so the hope is that by getting these tablets, we're able to do this much faster. We've got pre-written things that we can just speed the process along so you could actually make it manageable to get through the community in, you know, every week or bi-weekly. And then that eliminates that need to go back to the office and put it in the computer and all of that. It would all just happen. So we have training on that on Friday. The one piece that we're still trying to kind of work through and think through on that end of things is the rental situation. If we're going to be putting something in a tablet, we're going to need to be able to, or it would be ideal, to be able to leave something on that property because there probably will still be a piece that gets sent to the property owner to ensure that that property owner also has awareness. And so we're trying to figure out what that looks like, if there's some sort of mobile printer that we can have or something on that in that realm of things.
for the thinking in the renters, mm-hmm. could be the will you use the different languages to leave this note?
Yeah, I think that would be a big piece of that handout. Pictures, languages, making it just far easier to understand, because when I see this, I know what it says because I am very, very close and familiar with it, right? But you see this huge piece of paper with writing and check marks and it's bright yellow and you're like, what the heck is this? Mm-hmm. Why, you know, I don't understand this. Absolutely.
Would you do this responding primarily to where there's a complaint, or would the plan be to routinely to try to canvass 100% of properties?
That would be the hope. Is that
just
we,
so everybody's treated equally?
Yep. And that's part of, you know, I don't know how much of the language actually needs to change. It might more be in-house procedural, how we can address some of this. But I think that there are some of those, you know, education pieces that we can also bring to it to hopefully, you know, part of it is our ultimate goal, right, is simply that we don't want garbage laying in all of our yards. Mm-hmm. We don't want junk vehicles sitting out or half-torn apart vehicles sitting out in our driveways. We don't want people parking in their front yards. We want our community to look like we care. Mm-hmm. Because we like living where we do. And so the hope would be that we would be able to be more equitable in the sense that we are able to look at every property and not just go where there are complaints. Because we know that there have been a number of anecdotal stories that I could tell you where one person was complained about, and then, you know, here we find out three other people are doing it in town, but nobody said a word about it, and they don't get addressed because we're not aware of it. And so we need to make sure that we have that full oversight.
Would it be that the rental properties often are complained about more frequently because they don't have larger garages or bigger storage areas? and things are just left out there?
There can be. We seem to have a trend where people don't have garbage service, and they like to store all of their garbage bags in a trailer that then gets hauled away at mm-hmm. some future
yep.
point in time as well. That's a strange, oddly enough, a frequent one mm-hmm. that we address, and you know, the smell builds up and different things. And so our requirement is that you've got weekly garbage service that is stored inside that garbage can, not all over your yard, not next to your can, and that can is closed. So it has to be of proper size, right? If you've got a triplex, you want to make sure that you've got three cans or a larger sized dumpster to adequately take care of that garbage that's being produced there as well.
Does the city have inspection of rental units for repair?
Yes. Yep. We've got a rental program. So they are inspected. It depends on the size. I think is that under six or is that under eight units? They get inspected every 3 years, and over eight get inspected every 4 years. And so there are times when Jason's out doing that this becomes a very common piece that's left during those inspections as well. But again, that's only every 4 years. So we need to make sure that this is a more everyday, monthly
thing. They would inspect things such as broken windows and
yep.
missing sidewalks and
yep.
eaves troughs that are...
Absolutely.
I feel like there's a disconnect between the renters and the city planning people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I live in a split living, and so when you're renting that place, no one's going to tell you, oh, well, hey, if you have a flat tire or your tire comes out of the parking, well, you can't park here, or like, you have certain time to like get your car out and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the maintenance just looked at the car, and they just tow the car. Then you have to pay $160 to get the car and then fix your car, which then it's a barrier for the people largely right now that lives in the Scandia Woods apartments are mm-hmm. largely Somali families. So mm-hmm. we have a big problem right now that cars are being towed, and then you pay $160 plus the whatever thing that you need to pay the expense. And so then the problem is that I feel like, and it's not in the lease.
Mm-hmm.
When you're renting the place, it's not on the lease. They don't tell you, like, this is what it is. So you park and you feel like, you know, and sometimes people just wait. They're waiting for the next paycheck, you know, to right. fix that tire.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you actually pay $160 extra, then you don't have actually the money to pay for the tire that you were going to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's very inconsiderate, and that it needs some part of education.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to have someone that actually explains that when they're renting, when people are renting this. Because I can tell you when we were new here, there was no sort of education about, like, whether it's the garbage or, like, you know, when you're moving out, where you put certain stuff. And right now that there's a lot of complaint in the Somali community at this Candywood apartments. Cars are being towed, and, like, families, they feel like this pressure that, you know, that they have to, you know, that they don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when you talk to people living, they're like, well, it's the city rules. Go to talk to the city people. And then you're like, well, who am I going to talk to?
Yeah, that's interesting. So when we talk about junk vehicles, per se, what we look for is vehicles that are properly licensed. So even if it was missing a wheel, if you had current insurance and your tabs were up to date, it would be considered compliant. So it's those vehicles that you don't have current tabs on that we actually look for.
So there's no rule then.
That this in the parking lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's see, not the city's
name. No. Actually, the city's it sounds like they're trying to, because if it is, right, if there is a junk vehicle that, say, is the tabs are 5 years old on it, which I'm not saying there is, but
right.
if that, then in that case, Sweet Living would become responsible, and it ultimately would be up to them to make sure that that vehicle either gets properly licensed or something happens to it. So it sounds like there might be a misinterpretation there.
It happened actually this week. There was a family and they said, go talk to the city. So they just saw the car. Their car's being towed by a City Line truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we can't do anything about it because this is the rule of the city. Like, you cannot have a car that's like flat tire in the parking lot. So the family had to pay $160 to get that back.
Right.
Do you know if their license was up to date?
Yeah, we looked at the car.
The city has a contract with Ed's Towing, so being towed by City Line is another story.
Yep.
But somebody would have had to have called
right.
to get it, which is exactly right. what this idea is to get away from.
Yep. Right.
But I think Hamdi's point is really well taken. And what I would add to this is, because Sarah and I talked about this a long time ago, when you bring this out, this form is one thing, but there needs to be a brochure that comes out for everybody when this is reprinted and however we're going to call it, Community Enhancement Part 2. I don't know where you're throwing it all in there, but it needs to be in multiple languages, a brochure that's gone out to everyone.
Yep.
So, and there's pictures of what it looks like when you are not, when you have a vehicle that's going to miss the mark. I think that is the educational campaign. There needs to be stuff on our local television. There needs to be signs up about what this means so everyone knows what it is and everyone can take pride in it. The second part, though, that's part of the problem is
that sounds like that's the Sweet Living that's doing that, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely
it
is. Yeah. Absolutely is.
So how do you take care of that?
We talked to the management, too.
It's nothing to do with the city.
I talked to the management, to them, and they were like, well, we're not going to hear and argue with you guys. So they said that we're going to send you to, like, talk. If you have a problem, talk to the City Line, because they were like, that's their responsibility. So basically, they're sending their maintenance people to take, you know, to call the City Line, and the City Line comes and picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and then the City Line guys go, well, you know, I can't do anything about it, because this is their rule. But then, like,
when
you ask them, what does the rule say? And then they send you the city people, and you're like, who am I going to talk to? That's the city people.
People are not involved in that at all. That is Sweet Living.
Right.
And then I would say that check your lease.
We asked for the family, and I was translating, and they said it's not in the lease, but it's just the rule of the city.
No, it is not.
City Line Towing is not a city. City Line Towing is a private business, right?
Okay.
So City Line Towing is not a towing company of the city's either.
Right.
Which might be confusing in the name.
The name.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Living.
Are there more questions for Sarah as she continues to move forward with this potential proposal to change this policy?
On this sheet, it has other. And there's an ordinance establishing that. Does the inspector have the discretion to make a judgment to put something in there?
The
ordinance would define that.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of an example. There are, like, one or two items that aren't on here because they might not be frequent. But we might check the other.
Is, like, a window not in a building?
I'm trying to react my brain of what a good
like
example
this, perhaps.
Is.
Yep.
Building maintenance.
Right.
Animals, livestock?
Yep, animals would be one.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have chickens?
No.
Not yet.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
That's right up.
So is Hutchinson. Yeah.
How about a pet pig?
Yeah. So animals would be
good
examples.
But you are right, there would be an ordinance they would have to cite there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Auto parts is one that I write in there a lot now that I think about it. Tires, that kind of thing. That's in the ordinance, but not, like, specifically in this. And I, you know, we try to be detailed.
Okay.
Education, I think, is a really, really important part. And that's true for the whole business of keeping your sidewalks clear.
Right.
And I think, again and again, people don't know about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would think that the Wilmer Municipal Utilities would be a great place for us to occasionally... Can the city not send out things?
Yeah, we can put stuff in
there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's one place that everybody gets that.
Do they?
I think I
there
looked
might be.
Into that and there were some charges.
There probably is. I mean, there's some charges with the number of things we probably have to
have. We're
going to
roll this out and be serious about it. I mean, that is an expense I'm thinking the city should be willing to pay.
Yeah, we just have to
wrap
our minds around what a budget would look like to do some of that.
This is a real change. And
yep.
That's why I say you have to start all over again. Just the enforcement piece is not enough. The education piece has to come with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that might be one of, I think that's the biggest piece that we'd want to see. And then something where we've got some sort of ongoing plan.
Sarah, do you know if these phone numbers still work for interpreting?
Yeah, I was just going to say, the phone numbers are correct. The name, Maria, is incorrect. And I think Sarah is still out of the country. But you could still call that number and get to somebody.
But getting back to Hamdi's question, who should they take that to? If Sweet Living is blaming it on the city and it's not a city policy, then the city has an issue with that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a question I might have asked it in the past, but is there a registry of all the property owners who are renters and landlords and a way to communicate with them as far as, like, to track violations or complaints?
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody has property to rent, the person is renting, they got to show their income, they got to show their legal status and financial, everything. And then they rent from somebody who is a known shyster, maybe, or someone who will continue to do these kinds of things. And I hear it all the time, you know, like somebody that maybe they think they like broken water line, mm-hmm. and the landlord has said, well, you have to pay for it. And they're like, no, we don't. Yes, you do. And they were going to take it out of their rent. Well, if we fix it, we'll take it out of the rent. Well, you can't do that. And so where's their recourse? Where do they go? And this sounds like a violation of just, harassment. And so whether it's tow companies, you know, this was something I saw a lot of in Florida, you know, the tow companies had a good deal.
Yeah. Because
they would get called by the landlords and they'd say, okay, you get this, you get that much. And so do we have a registry?
We have, because of
in that manner?
Right, because of the rental program that we do have in town. We do have a list of all, you know, landlords that we could communicate with, and I think that would be a big educational piece too. Would be considering, you know, specifically something for that subset of people. We receive calls on weekly basis.
Is there a tracking system though? Is there a grading system? Here's this landlord and this, you know, there's been no complaints in 5 years and no violations in 5 years, and so they get 5 stars.
Yeah.
Somebody who gets, you know, a tow, a car towed once every other month for illegal reasons or for profit or just harassment. You know, it just doesn't, real inequity there.
Yeah.
Unofficially, maybe, like when you were doing the stuff, Ben, with the ARC housing, you knew landlords that you were more willing to recommend people
Definitely.
To than others.
Yeah.
I mean, so not officially, but people who are helping people find places to live certainly have a pulse.
If you give me names, I can give you recommendations off. But Hamdi, I really... That seems like an issue that the Human Rights Commission should take up now that you know that that's not a city rule. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to know how many people's cars have been towed.
Where did they tow it to?
Where'd the car go?
The City Line
towing lot?
Yeah.
So then you got to go there and you pay $100
bucks
to get it
out. Yeah, so the family had to go. It was Friday last week?
Yeah.
And so what they do is that they have this red notice that they will put every car. And so it will say, like, if you don't fix this car, that will tow it. And so then you have a non-speaking families.
Yeah.
Right.
And so next thing you know is that your car is towed.
And who's that note coming from?
It's coming from the Sweet Living.
Coming from Sweet Living, and then they call.
So then when I called and pushed and I said, and I asked them for, like, is this on the lease? And then they're like, no, it's not on the lease, but it's a city rule.
It's not, okay.
And then when, so then where are you going to go? And so, like, you're just required to get your car to pay $160. And so a lot of families are going to do that. Mm. And so when when you really don't have education about the system, and someone tells you this is the rule, then you just have to swallow the pill and just do it.
Do you want to set up a meeting with the management again? I think that would be...
Yeah.
Seems like that's pretty sketchy. Because
the lady that we talked to was the manager, actually.
But there is a warning. there was a note put on the car thing.
Yes, yeah. That was kind of like a red thing. It's like, yeah. But I've lived in Somerset apartments where it's like in a college. Never have I seen, like, I've lived in a lot of apartments, and never have I seen, like, a car being towed from a place that you pay rent. And so it's really kind of, I was skeptical
right.
too. But they said, I'm like, maybe there's something new that changed. I don't know. So.
What jurisdiction does the city have to just make contact with a renter saying, we've heard this, just to verify that you're not sending this message that somehow the city rules are warranting you towing?
Right. I mean, would
we have jurisdiction to do that?
Do you and I have the ability to go there and have that conversation? Is
I don't even know if a human rights person has to be involved
or just
in that.
The city.
I'm wondering if the city itself can just simply say, and say, hey, you're towing people, and under what pretense are you doing that? And maybe
especially when you're saying it's the city.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that up front when you call them, but it's like, you know, if they say it's against it, maybe they are uninformed. I don't know.
Jason
contacts property owners all the time. He's the building inspector, and he's in charge of the rental program.
Because I think maybe a phone call.
But that could
Sweet Living, Sweet Living operates a lot of facilities. And the city has worked with them very closely in developing new housing in the city. This is not good. Potentially, it could be very bad, and so it needs to be straightened out.
But each one of these could have issues because you can have some construction equipment or something for a period of time. But how long? What is the reasonable time?
Many
times people are doing a self-help project and takes all summer.
As long as we know, and that's not to say any of this that's within your garage or in a fully fenced in backyard that isn't viewable from public streets or your neighbor's property. Does not fall into this category, right? So if you have a piece of construction equipment in your garage,
if you've got a sidewalk, your front side yard.
Yep.
And I've seen people, you know, it takes all summer.
Yep.
You know, one Saturday you dig it out and then you can
Right,
turn
right,
and
right.
I've done projects that go on.
And I didn't note it as well, but this is not an automatic violation.
No.
This isn't a ticket from the police. Yeah. So there is a grace period, what I like to call. They have 7 days generally to correct the issue, unless it's something immediately endangering, like health, or if it's wet garbage, then it's 3 days. So we try and get that, because ultimately our goal is compliance. We would rather not send somebody to the police for ticketing. So there is that time to change something, or, you know, I think there could be more of a notification of, like, you know, if you need more time, let us know. Or if we have misinterpreted something that is on your property, call us, kind of education piece on this as well.
But I think the goal of the rewriting of this policy is that it is more of a, you know, equitable, we're looking at this part of the city, you know, and that they're going through, rather than just, like Sarah said, reactive to complaints, and then also the education piece, that if people are new, even new to living in town, sometimes people have lived out in the country for years, they move into town, you don't necessarily know all the city rules, you know, that those education pieces that go along with that, and versus just, I'm complaining on my neighbor anonymously, click. You know, I mean, that's kind of what's happening now.
One thing that's not on here is noxious weeds.
Yep,
in the city,
again, weeds
I know,
and
my
weeds
neighbor,
and
the
grass.
City, the city parkland has got noxious weeds. I'd like to see them take care of it. But it shouldn't be just mowing. It should develop native prairies and wildflowers is good. But you have maintenance on it.
Yep.
And there are thistles that are growing in some neighbors, and rather than letting them go to seed, that'd be a legitimate thing to have on here.
Right.
But it isn't as if you should mow everything down. I think we should encourage natural ventilation, natural vegetation, and the plants that would naturally want to grow. Okay. And the city has that same problem. You know, I think there's people that pressure them to let prairie grow, but then if it's thistles that are growing and some that are invasive and they're giving enormous amounts of seeds, that should be taken care of. But it doesn't mean it's managing a vegetation that has to happen.
Sean, did you have another comment about it?
I think that's a good idea to explore. I don't know if it's even in the ordinance or not. If it's not, it may be something we can modify to put in there. But I was going to say, Sarah, when you put that thing together, I think we've kind of learned here in the last few months that there needs to be that feedback mechanism with this piece. I like the fact that you'll have this communication back, because if they rectify the problem and they have fixed it, they also need to come back and, you know, contact back to the city and say, yep, I moved all the stuff, it's now moved, because otherwise there's been reports that the city shows up and then, because you had lawn yard, they show up and they mow your yard, even though you mowed it, they come and mow it, and then they charge you for mowing it when you did do it, and maybe we had a lot of rain intermittently, and it creates a mess. And so I think going for the city as a partner with the residents to make this a better-looking city is what we want, not just a punitive thing.
Right.
So I like the idea of unveiling it with a big educational component. And if you want to complain now, after we have this in place, the onus is on the complaint. The complainer needs to document the complaint. Because now, I will tell you, as a council member, and Ms. Davis can back this up as well, I get phone calls of people wanting to complain on their neighbor, but they are not the one that wants to do the complaining. They go, well, could you do it for me so I could still be friendly with my neighbor? And I'm like, of course I will do that. However, is there a way to solve this nicely? And we get those calls. And people are usually pretty good about it. A lot of times they just don't know.
Any other discussion about that before we move on? And you'll follow up with somebody with the Sweet Living stuff too?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, keep us informed on that one.
Updated so that I can share back the information that you find out.
Where is that apartment?
They own all kinds of apartments in Wilmer, or they manage them.
New set by college.
Is that one out by college?
No, this one's by the Wells Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Candy Woods.
Yeah.
This one,
down Fifth Street.
There's all those apartments.
Fifth Street Southwest, right north of between Wilmer Avenue and 19.
They own a few of those.
Thank you, Sarah.
Those seem like nice places.
Well, they are.
Sound good?
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And whatever education pieces.
It goes without saying.
Simple English. And that's the part that we feel. The pictures.
Yeah.
The pictures.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's a very good communication tool because we do have, you know, folks in all languages that may not be able to read written words, they can see the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to communicate with people too. So
I think pictures just make it friendly too.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know that.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank
you. Thanks for coming.
So that is kind of the first start on the GAIR work, using the toolkit on the city policies. I'm sure there'll be more fun to come as we keep moving through it. But that was one policy that both Sean and Sarah felt we could really see from that lens as one to impact, have some impact on it. So, you're free to throw it. I had talked before about the Chamber Diversity Award. That is with the Chamber right now. They are going to be putting out the form and having Chamber members make nominations for that. And then they are wondering if they want those nominations to come to us to review and make the recommendation to the Chamber at their Volunteer Awards luncheon, which will be in April now. So
we're not asked to be making nominations.
We can. Anybody can make a nomination. Like I said, Michelle is working on the form right now for that. Anybody can submit a nomination of an individual or a business or a group that is working towards an inclusive community. And Ken Warner has asked if, when the nominations come in, if this committee would like to be the one to select the winner of that based on the nominations. So they will be coming in like January and February.
I would think that's appropriate.
The challenge is, it sounds interesting, but coming up with criteria that's consistent and logical is not very simple.
Right.
I think some of the, it could be very difficult, and maybe one stands off very simply, but it's something that would be ideal if you ahead of time actually think through what is really important and what, if we had some categories or something.
Do they have a statement, the criteria is listed for what
we,
to include?
They don't really have the criteria, but I put the statement that we came up with in our GAIR work about Willmar being the welcoming community on there, and talking about inclusivity, equity, and forwarded that to the chamber, and they're working on the template right now. Just, there was some timetables behind it. The other three nominations are already out for people to be working on, and so there was some urgency to get that done. And so I took what St. Cloud had, that the one that I had shared before, and kind of tweaked it with our statement that we came up with here. And Ken is having Michelle create the form. They'll send out the form. The reality is, hopefully we get some nominations, because I know for the other three community leader awards, they get very few nominations, actually.
Yeah.
Even though we know there are tons of people doing great work in the community, they don't get a lot of nominations for it.
Then we should make some nominations.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. And as individuals, we can all make nominations.
But the sheet is very clear what the criteria are. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to nominate someone, they would know that they would be hitting those points in that nomination process. Well, if it's really loose, I think it would probably be, if we're going to do this, and getting to Richard's point, we're going to do this and do it right, we probably need to refine that and make it very clear.
And we can still...
It'll make it easier for the
committee. Still have some time. So hopefully it'll come back to us in December. And then by January and February, we can refine it at that December meeting, then move forward with nominations in January and February. So.
And the application really should lay out some of the information, because a lot of people, we may not know.
Right.
What would be important is what isn't really public knowledge that everybody knows. That would be the thing that should be on that application form.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have some grounds to...
Right. Yeah, and it will go out to all 567 members of the chamber also. You know, that'll be... And they put it in their weekly newsletter that nominations are out and stuff, but... we will get a chance to look at the form again in December. So.
And is it the intent that, like, someone like yourself would then give that award at their meeting?
At the chamber, yes.
Okay.
Leadership awards on April 24th, I think it is. So, yes. So just so you know where that is, where the process is with that. Kind of the other big thing on the agenda tonight... now, I have been in St. Paul all day, so I don't, and not checked my email, so I don't know, Sean or Vicki, if there has been more discussion today, or Richard. Okay. And then I was in Colorado on Friday, so I wasn't in on that chain of emails that was coming about. We had a plan, and then it seemed like it changed. So do you have an update on that?
I tried to contact the governor to find out exactly, but I haven't heard back.
Okay.
So.
Okay. D-
Tell us the name of the ordinance so people know what we're talking about.
It's like Executive right. Order 100
Executive Order 13888 on enhancing state and local involvement in resettling.
Maybe tell
there was an executive order that came the end of September that stated states, governors, and
localities,
either counties or cities, would have to resolve that they would continue to accept refugees in their locality, state, whatever. And the way I read the initial one that came out was that by December 25th, this had to be signed by the governor.
So this came from the governor's office?
Or this came from the president.
From the president.
Federal.
Only 18,000 refugees are going to be allowed in 2020.
Yes, in 2020. And so then cities, counties, states have to state that they are willing to accept resettled refugees. That is how it was brought to us initially through Lutheran Social Services.
So the state would have to do it and the city has to do it.
First, yes. Yep.
If first your governor said no, then it's done.
Right.
If your governor says yes, then they knock it down to a locality. Yes. And that was the issue was, is it the county level or is it by city? Mm-hmm. And so we were approached by the mayor, who was approached by Lutheran Social Services. And so Vicki Shelley and I met with the mayor, and we refined an ordinance that was put out to address the city of Willmar. So we had a draft to come to you tonight saying that Willmar would continue to participate in that. And then I have heard now from the mayor that he got a follow-up that that is not the jurisdiction any longer, that it would be counties that would deal with that. And well, so that's all I know at this point.
Right. The so county, that was where it ended. Now, one of the issues that I think we have is after our last meeting, I met with Larry Kleindahl, the county administrator, and talked to him, too, about the Human Rights Commission, about a Kanduai County Human Rights Commission. And his statement was the counties have no jurisdiction in the cities, so then each individual city would have to have one, so he would not, he didn't believe that we could really do that.
The only thing that I could find is that there was one city in Virginia that passed
Alexandria, Virginia, yes, has passed it right away. At the end of October,
I've looked up human rights commissions in counties, and there are.
The Olmsted.
Olmsted, and there were a couple others, too, in the state.
But the county has jurisdiction over the cities in the county. They delegate some things, but they're still an overriding. They're the state branch of government down to a local level. And there's a lot of influence, everything from streets solid waste.
So we don't belabor a lot of points if we don't need to, I would suggest that you include the draft ordinance for the agenda for December.
Okay.
And then if it's not our jurisdiction, we have a month to figure that out. And if it is our jurisdiction, it's on the agenda and ready to go for us to pass before the December 25 deadline.
Did everybody have a chance to review the draft of what was sent out for that? Because, that is the draft that it would come to the city council at the December 2nd meeting.
If we don't do it until the December meeting, if you would pass it this evening, it would go.
Right. Yeah. So we need to act on it tonight, one way or another, if we're going to bring it to the December 2nd meeting, right?
So if we were to act on it tonight and we find out that it's just at the county level, then we would just cancel it, right?
It could be. We'd recommend it subject to that it would be the city would have the jurisdiction to do it.
And you can do that too. I know if you do talk about it, there was one minor change that was on there Janelle has a copy of it that was suggested, and it's the last statement.
Okay.
Because the whole focus, the original ordinance we looked at, the language
right.
was, it had some politically charged statements in there that we took it out because we wanted it to be apolitical.
Right.
But then the focus for the folks that met about it was focusing on families and keeping
right.
families together.
Could you read it aloud?
Yes. Yeah. So resolution number whatever. A resolution consenting to continued initial resettlement of refugees in Willmar, Minnesota. The motion by and the second by. Whereas, comma, Willmar has welcomed refugees facing religious, ethnic, and political persecution for many years. And whereas, comma, Willmar recognizes that having families reunited builds a stronger community. And whereas, by definition, refugees are individuals who have been forced to flee their home country due to persecution based on their race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or social group. And whereas resettlement is a last resort for refugees who cannot return to their home country and cannot rebuild their lives where they first fled. And whereas Willmar is currently the home of resettled refugees who may be joined by family members from which they have been separated. And whereas community members, families, local organizations, and faith-based institutions have supported the arrival and integration of refugee families for several years. And whereas Willmar supports healthy families, which supports and embraces a healthy community, and whereas refugees have a significant net positive effect on the local economy. Be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Willmar that with regard to the Federal Executive Order 13888 on enhancing state and local involvement in resettlement, the Council of the City of Willmar consents to the initial resettlement of refugees, and a copy of this resolution will be transmitted to the U.S. Department of State, Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, dated this second day of December 2019. That, with that one change that I read, that would be what would be presented to the Willmar City Council.
Okay. So there's no reference to how said immigrants would be sponsored here or
no.
anything about limits to how many
no.
or,
no.
I mean, some of those might be
mm-hmm.
areas of concern.
It's just that first city that you get
right.
into. So in Willmar, it's really low. I think the highest has been in the last few years, maybe
oh,
20
I know.
People. Yeah.
I'm not
right.
worried. It will
yeah.
be
right.
I'm just
yeah,
saying,
I mean,
there.
We got the
That's
numbers
what, yeah.
last, last year. There were 10, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean it's very low.
But the effect of the executive order is that there'll be very few of these relatively all over the whole country.
Only 18,000 nationwide.
Right.
Yeah.
The vast majority, just because you have to do something, they won't be able to go. So there'd be very few places for immigrants to go, refugees to go.
Right. So we're not sure which one has jurisdiction now, but the motion would be on the table, made by me, that we present this.
I'll second it.
To the City Council on December 2nd, if this is still moving forward with under city jurisdiction.
Yeah, if it's
subject
within our,
to the
yeah, subject to jurisdiction, and if it's
yes.
if it's not
for
the city's
sure.
purview, then it's not.
Yeah.
But
okay. So
you can also do it on the December 16th meeting if you still are determining that. There's two meetings in December.
Because the 16th is before the 25th, and that would
yeah.
be
yeah, that would give us a little more time.
Yeah, a little more time because
sure.
what
okay.
you don't want to do is
right.
end up doing it, and you find out it is the county issue, and they didn't know that by
right.
then, and then, yeah.
Right.
So sooner better than later.
Well, I think letting them have that extra couple weeks, because it sounds like we didn't get definitive answers that people are looking for actually a written document that says whose jurisdiction it is and nothing out there. Can't find it.
Right. I might send an email to Karen again and ask her where she got that.
I think it was wrote to be vague.
Mm-hmm. But would not it be appropriate for the city to petition the county saying we are interested in hosting refugees, but it's your jurisdiction, but
If you put it out by the December 2nd date, and that could be a first reading, and we can certainly look at it
again.
We
can change the date if we need to.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, sure. I think that could be good,
Okay. So there's a motion and a second. Is there, Never mind.
Who will bring it up? It will be probably Shelley at the meeting.
Isn't that what was the thing?
I know you are.
Is there more discussion? Do you want to read the motion again?
Present this resolution to the city council, and I had at the December 2nd meeting, subject to whose jurisdiction it falls under.
I heard.
Okay. Does that sound right to you?
Is there any more discussion?
I have to
leave. On that?
I think there's another group.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I voted against it.
Okay. Can
we just say one quick?
Is it okay to have another topic? It's not on the agenda.
I'll let Nikki talk. Go ahead.
Okay. So, in wondering if we should form, you know, a county human rights commission, I called David Singleton from the State Human Rights Commission. And I asked him about it, and he wanted to know what spurred us to think about that. So I shared with him the county commissioner signing that document, and he was shocked, and he suggested that the League of Minnesota's State Human Rights Commission review the issue and see if there's, I wrote it down so I'd see if there's probable cause under the statute to facilitate investigation at state level.
Okay. Because I did also talk to the county administrator about this, who had brought it to the county attorney, and he didn't, there is nothing in their code of, they do not have a code of ethics for county commissioners.
And that was another thing I asked him, if we should, you know, try to get something like that passed, even for council. And what I brought it up was, is there some kind of a policy or put in the city charter where, you know, elected officials have to speak with respect towards all people? In, you know, everywhere. So he said, what are, you know, this is 2019, why are people still behaving this way? And so he said they would investigate at the state level, but we would have to, tonight we would have to pass a resolution to have the state review the matter on our behalf. And then I will get back to him, and then they'll start working on it.
You mean a motion or a resolution?
He said have us pass a resolution. Maybe he meant motion.
I think this would be a
we
motion.
We just have to vote on it. We have to vote.
On that topic, I wrote a letter to Steve Ahman, and he asked to meet with me, and I met with him for coffee. He told me he was not aware that his job title had been written on that petition. His wife had done it. He said that he has requested that his position be removed from that signature.
Not his name.
But not his name.
Not his name. Position. I mean, that was what I was mainly complaining about was, hey, don't write this on behalf of me and your other constituents. Right. And
has it changed or not?
I have not.
It did, yes.
It did change.
Well, he just took off county commissioner.
Right.
Okay. But it's not under the elected official?
It's still...
No. He's under his name now.
Under just private citizens?
So, just for information,
under the 400 signatories.
Yeah, he's out of the
Okay,
game.
Correct. Sure.
Okay. Well, that does make sense.
Is there a motion on the table?
We, as a body, I'll just caution you as you go into this area, we are not an investigative body.
Right.
And we've always said that we hand those investigative right. bodies off. And so if the motion is to simply move that to some other body, that is the role of this body.
Right.
But to weigh whether or not it's appropriate and weigh those
right.
evidences is
right.
not our job. So if you wish to move it on to someone else to do that, so be it. Because it's not our
but
job.
But this is for a larger group right. to investigate.
Yeah. Not, right.
Not our
right.
job.
Not us no. to investigate.
Right.
And,
right. That's
and we've said that before. If we would file the complaints on other people's behalfs. And so
right.
I would view this the same as if anybody were asking for a human
right.
rights determination
right.
to move that forward.
Right.
So if it's something, we've heard it. I would say we are not in a position to pass judgment. If you wish to move that on, an emotion would be appropriate.
Move it on to who?
To
the state
Human Rights Commission.
Yeah.
That's who was asked to investigate that, but they needed a motion from this body to do that. And I'm just saying, weighing evidences here is not what we do.
Right, right.
I think if they're asking us to make a motion, we should.
That's what
I agree.
Yeah. I'll make the motion to move it on this.
I'll second it.
Okay. So there is a motion and a second to move this investigation to the State Human Rights Commission. Is there more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
So I know we are out of time, but yep. I do have like 10 constituent letters that were sent to me to LSD. I know that was the original plan. I don't know if we still want to go forward. I feel like I should get those letters to the commissioners. I don't know if you want to give those to
Larry.
To Larry, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, yeah, he said he would present them at the county board if there were letters that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Criticism.
Yeah.
were presented, so.
And I don't think it makes a difference if he took his title off, his name is
right.
And what his position is.
Right.
And it's been out there long enough for people to know that.
Yeah. I think they're waiting for us to get out.
Okay. We will meet again on December 17th at 5 o'clock.
Move to adjourn.
There, okay. Thank you.